I think I'm going to read you the whole chapter of Hosea, chapter 3, but it's only 5 verses long. The Lord said to me again, "Go, love a woman who has a lover and is an adulteress, just as the Lord loves the people of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer of barley and a measure of wine. And I said to her, "You must remain as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore. You shall not have intercourse with a man, nor I with you. For the Israelites shall remain many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the Israelites shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall come in awe to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days." So ends the reading of the work. It find pleasure from God.
So things have changed in church. We have different colors, a whole different mood, and a different season. We have entered now the season of Lent. For those of you who are able to come on Ash Wednesday to the La Cañada Church, where the UCC area churches got together, we were able to start this season, a time of reflection, a time of spiritual renewal. And in this season of Lent, the sermons are going to focus on stories of God's redemptive love. Of course, the greatest story will be the one we tell on Easter morning, but there are other stories in scriptures of God's redemptive love beyond just the story of how the cross turns out. And some of these stories you're going to hear in Lent are very well known to you, and then there are others like today's that most of you have probably never heard of. And you might be thinking, now how did this one slip into the Bible? So I'm going to unpack it a little bit, try to explain to you what's in those five verses and show you how this is a story of redemption. But you need to know the backstory, but I didn't want to have to read all of Hosea to you. It's in the prophecies, in the what is our Old Testament section. They're Hebrew prophets who had the job simply of going to the church of their time and giving some words of hope and some words of reality. The reality was they have all strayed away from God. That's kind of the common theme of the time when the prophets lived. Their job was then to go to the churches that have strayed away, the people of Israel, who have strayed away from God, and say, "You need to come back. You need to return to the fold. You need to come home to God." And in this particular time frame, they've gone off to the Canaanite gods, and that's the reference to the little raisin cakes. It's not the little delicacies that you would buy at the store and think, oh, they're off just having their sweets like our donuts and other treats at fellowship time. Raisin cakes were what Canaanites took to the altars of Baal and presented as a food offering for worship. So it's a very clear reference to they've gone off to worship the Canaanite gods of Baal. And the raisin cakes are that indication. So that clues you into that little raisin cake theme in the text that you wouldn't know otherwise. But let me tell you about this woman that Hosea is talking about. It happens to be his wife. So this whole story of Hosea is what we would call an allegory. It's using fictional characters to make a point of some kind of point, which in this particular case has to deal with Israel. It's written for a specific people, for a specific time, for a specific problem. So then the challenge of preaching it is, well, how do we apply it to today? And that's what the season of Lent provides us the opportunity to do this morning. So earlier in the book, Hosea is instructed by God to go and marry. And the woman he is to marry is something like the woman on the screen. Most of you may recognize her profession. His wife had an unusual name. You don't hear too many people name this. Her name was Gomer. Gomer was a prostitute. So God said to Hosea, go marry this prostitute and make her your wife. Then we're told very quickly they had three children, two sons and a daughter. You can read all of this in chapter 1 if you want. And they named them the most unusual names you can imagine that pointed to the problem that Gomer brings into the relationship, which is her whole sense of unfaithfulness, to show Israel's unfaithfulness to God. So you get the groundwork of the story. By the time we get to chapter 3, Gomer has just kind of gone away from the marriage, gone back to her old ways, and God says to Hosea once again, go and bring her back. Remember, we're not talking about a woman and a marriage, but we're talking about a people of God who have strayed away. Go and bring the people of Israel back. So when I do my hospice initial visits, one of the things I'm trying to do is find out who my individual is. And I don't want them to be a disease diagnosis or a Kaiser medical record number or perhaps their legal name that most of us don't often go by. So I try to find out who they are as a person. And when they're telling me their story, and I know there's a spouse involved, as part of what we call life review, I'll simply, when we get to that point of, you know, they hooked up with so-and-so, I'll say, well, tell me about your love story. Has anyone ever asked you, if you've been in a relationship, what is your love story? You should share it sometime. Certainly, if you have kids, let them know your love story. And would you and your partner even tell the same version of the story? But most of the time I hear things that are, you know, just run of the course, what you might imagine. I try to think, what would happen if I were sitting there and somebody started spinning the story of Hosea tells about Gomer? Now that would be quite an unusual love story to tell. And that's what this is truly an unusual love story. So let me tell you what we can learn, what we can learn from this text. There's four elements of God's love at play here in these little short 5 verses. The qualities of love that appear in this particular part of Hosea's text is this: God's reclaiming love, God's redeeming love, God's renewing love, and God's restoring love. And we're going to unpack each of those very quickly this morning. So I told you that Gomer has left the marriage. She's left the home. She's gone back to her old ways. So the first thing she has to do is be reclaimed. God instructs Hosea to go and bring her back. Bring her back into your relationship and your love. It's the desire of God to go after these wayward Israelites who have strayed away, who aren't in God's church on Sunday morning, but are across the street at the Canaanite church, putting their raisin cakes on the altars, doing things they shouldn't be doing. Go and bring them back. So what is the sin at this point in the story? It's what I'm going to call spiritual adultery. It's very clear what Israel's spiritual adultery is. They went off to another foreign god. But then I have to think, what is our spiritual adultery? When have we pushed God aside? When have we stopped making God have a place of importance in our life? Lent gives us an opportunity to reflect on that. And if we've somehow pushed God aside, Lent gives us an opportunity to be reclaimed by God, just as God sent Hosea to help reclaim the people of Israel. The next type of love that comes in here is redeeming love. That's when you would go to any cost to save the relationship. Now, there's a part of the story that really makes no sense, because then Hosea is instructed to go and buy her. She's being put on a slave auction, if you will. And it really legally makes no sense because, after all, she's his wife. He really doesn't have to go purchase her again. But if somebody has gotten to that point, if you study the nuances of this text, it will tell you that Gomer has sunk so low that she's having to be redeemed. Somebody's going to have to buy her. Hosea is instructed to pay 15 shekels of silver and the best of your wine and grain. That's really his bank account. He's got to go give his all to get Gomer back. It's a metaphor, if you will, of God's willing to pay such a costly price to buy us back so that we can have that reclamation take place. 40 days from now, we're going to be gathered around a cross telling a story that's perhaps the most powerful story of the price being paid to be bought back. This is one of those images that occur in our holy text of God's redeeming love. It's a powerful part of the story. God will go to great lengths for the people of Israel, to have them back in relationship. And God will go to great lengths to restore the broken relationships that we have created with God. That is the power of this story, and that's ultimately the foundation of the good news that we proclaim. That even when we've sinned and strayed and fallen off and done it wrong and turned our backs, God will redeem us. Then the third aspect of love that comes in here is a renewing love. Hosea has to learn to love Gomer all over again. Anytime a relationship is broken and then you try to restore it, there has to be a renewing aspect of that love. You've got to learn how to trust again, if you will. God had to learn to trust that the Israelites might mean what they said this time. And how many times does God have to earn our trust? That we're going to walk back into the relationship and start investing in it. When this love was renewed, they're both going to have to work and work hard to make that relationship be something of value. And Hosea says in the text, your priest can't do it for you. That means your pastors can't do this for you. This is your work that has to take place, and that's what we can do in this season of Lent. It's to look at our relationship with God, and where it is not strong, make it strong. And that's not just showing up on Sunday morning and devoting an hour out of all the hours you have in the week to doing this. This is the real getting in there and spending time together. The real work at restoring a relationship, to say to each other, you matter to me. And because you matter to me, I'm going to invest in this relationship. Hosea knew this was going to take work. He said, you know, when we come back together, it's not going to be things as normal at first. We're not going to start just loving each other. We've got to take time to reinvest and to get to know each other once again. And that was the call to the Israelites to come back into worship with God, to come back and reinvest where they belong with the God who claimed them and loved them. And that is the work that we're to do in these 40 days of Lent. Come back into our relationship with God, and where we need to do the renewing work, that is our work of this time. And then the final part of the love is the restoring love. That's where you can kind of sit back and say, we did it. We've made this relationship work. It's going to be okay as it goes forward. Now here, Hosea and Gomer disappear from the story. We really don't know how they restored their love, but it does seem if you read the rest of this story of theirs and this prophecy, you'll see that they continued on. But it simply tells us that the people of Israel came back into worship with God, and they were in awe. That's what the Bible says in verse 5. They were in awe of God. That's restorative. Awe is being able to look at someone you love and say, "Do you know how special you are to me?" That's words of appreciation and gratitude. That's what awe is based on. Do you realize how special you are to me? Finally, the people of Israel could claim that kind of word to God. They stood in awe when they were in God's presence. Are you standing in awe when you are present to God? Is your heart filled with loving gratitude for the blessings that God has given you? The gifts that have abundantly flowed in your life? The people whom you've been given to treasure and love? Do you stand in awe of how blessed you are? As you go on this journey throughout these weeks and days of Lent, this is your opportunity to be like Hosea and Gomer and the people of Israel. And if things aren't right with God, if things aren't right in your relationship with God, to do some corrective work. Where have we strayed? Where have we been unfaithful? Where have we not fully committed? These are the questions that begin this Lenten journey. Now is our chance to make our relationship with God better than it is today. That is the gift that Hosea and Gomer bring to us. An opportunity to make our relationship with God better and stronger than it is right now. That is the work of Lent. Amen.